The International Bible Lesson Uniform Sunday School Lessons Series for October 29, 2017 is from the Book of Nehemiah, Chapter 9, verses 32 through 39, and Chapter 10, verses 28 through 29. Hear now the Word of the Lord from the New International Version, Nehemiah, Chapter 9, verses 32 through 38, and chapter 10, verses 28 through 29. Now therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come on us, on our kings and leaders, on our priests and prophets, on our ancestors and all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. In all that has happened to us, you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully, while we acted wickedly. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them, in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors, so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who are separated from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand. All these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary, Uniform Sunday School Lessons Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 32 through 39, and chapter 10, verses 28 through 29. New International Version, October 29, 2017. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lessons commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lessons Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson, that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Nehemiah 9:32. Now therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes, the hardship that has come on us, on our kings and leaders, on our priests and prophets, and on our ancestors and all your people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. Chapters 1 through 7 of Nehemiah describe how Nehemiah prayed and worked to restore the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 13 of Nehemiah describe how Nehemiah prayed and worked to restore God's people. to restore the people's right relationship with God. Nehemiah had the Bible, the law of God, read to the people and interpreted so they would understand their scriptures. The people reaffirmed their commitment to obey the Bible, the Hebrew scriptures. Then Nehemiah confessed their sins and reaffirmed their commitment to God in prayer. In prayer, Nehemiah praised God for being our God. God had chosen them to be His people, and He would be their God. God chose them for the purpose of spreading the knowledge of the true God among all the nations of the earth. They would not begin to fulfill their missionary role until the events in the book of Acts. Their God was no tribal god or idol like the gods of their neighbors. Their God is the great God, who is mighty and awesome, all-powerful and awe-inspiring. The one who can achieve all His purposes and overcome all His adversaries. The one whose actions inspire praise and wonder. Of crucial importance to the returned exiles, God had made a covenant of love with them through Moses when He gave them the law of God. God loved them and would faithfully keep all His promises to them. Their idolatrous and immoral behavior had made their loving God angry enough to warn them and then bring sound discipline upon them for their unrepentant hearts, but not angry enough for God to stop loving them or stop being faithful to them and His covenant of love. After praising God for His nature and character as revealed in the Bible and their history, Nehemiah gave God an objective description of their sad situation since the time of the fall of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, in 722 BC. God is so great that Nehemiah did not want God to think that the hardship of everyone was but a trifle to God. To the great God, their leadership might seem as nothing, but to them it was overwhelming. Nehemiah prayed for God to help the people return to a right relationship with God, a king and subject relationship, a loving family relationship, a father and child relationship. Nehemiah 9:33. In all that has happened to us, You have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully, while we acted wickedly. Nehemiah put the blame for their hardship squarely where it belonged, on God's people themselves. God was righteous. God did all the right things when He disciplined His people, as He had repeatedly warned them He would do through their prophets, even from the time of Moses, when God gave them the law of God and made a covenant with them from Mount Sinai. This covenant was also an expression of God's love and required the people to love God. God had acted faithfully and lovingly as their God and King when He had disciplined them as a king should discipline his rebellious subjects. God was faithful to them, and in their best interests, God punished them and worked to restrain and correct their evil, wicked, self-destructive, God-dishonoring, sinful behavior that hurt others and themselves morally, spiritually, and physically. Nehemiah 9:34. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow Your law. They did not pay attention to Your commands or the statutes You warned them to keep. Nehemiah confessed specifically the sins of their leaders and their ancestors, their kings, leaders, and priests, for as long as any of them could remember, had misled the people. King Solomon led the kingdom of Judah into idolatry, and the nobles and priests from that time forth, with a few notable exceptions, had followed his bad example and had misled the people, who followed the examples of their religious and political leaders. After King Solomon, King Jeroboam led the kingdom of Israel into idolatry and immorality, which led to the kingdom's destruction by the Assyrians. The leaders and people began their downward spiral by openly not following God's laws. For example, King Solomon married many foreign wives and set up altars for their idols so they could worship their false gods in the high places around Jerusalem, which misled many Israelites. Following their open rebellion, they began to pay no attention to any of God's commands or laws, despite God's repeated warnings in His laws and by His prophets. All of them disregarded and disgraced God and themselves among themselves and their neighboring nations. Nehemiah 9:35. Even while they were in their kingdoms, enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. God repeatedly poured out His blessings upon them. He met all their needs and gave them great prosperity. They enjoyed the good life that God gave them. But rather than thank God for His manifold blessings, they ignored God's covenant of love, refused to love and serve God as God commanded and deserved, and persisted in practicing all the evils of their neighbors. If they could not invent new evils for themselves to practice and spread to their neighbors, they practiced whatever their neighbors did. They were totally ungrateful to God for His many blessings. If God did not intervene, they would go from evil to worsening evils, destroying others as well as themselves in every way imaginable. Nehemiah 9:36. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors, so they could eat its fruit and the good things it produces. Under Nehemiah's leadership as governor, the Jews, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, had returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city's walls, but they were still slaves to stronger surrounding kingdoms. After being exiles in Babylon, they were slaves to the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans up to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, after which time they were scattered again. When Jesus the Messiah came, He freed, and continues to free, from slavery to sin and Satan, everyone who trusts Him as their Lord and Savior. When Jesus the Messiah returns, He will establish His kingdom powerfully and visibly over the entire world. After Jesus the Messiah returns, all His royal subjects around the world will enjoy the fruits and other good things that the new earth will produce. Nehemiah 9:37. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. Nehemiah accurately described their slavery situation and acknowledged they were suffering because of their sins, not because of God's unfaithfulness. Though from time to time, the Jews up to the time of Jesus the Messiah would enjoy a measure of prosperity, they remained subjects to foreign rulers, with brief times in between when they would rebel and be repressed once again. As we discover from reading the New Testament, many of the priests and other religious leaders in Jerusalem collaborated with their foreign rulers for power and prestige, leading to the crucifixion of their true Messiah, Jesus. As Jesus lamented, the people were as sheep without a shepherd. Quote, "When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. No wonder God did postpone His answer to Nehemiah's prayer until the coming of Jesus the Messiah. Nehemiah 9:38. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. After reading and interpreting the law of God for the people, Nehemiah led the people to reaffirm the covenant of love that God had made with them. It was a binding agreement that they would obligate themselves to keep with appropriate curses or consequences if they broke the agreement. All the kingdom's leaders affixed their seals, signed the agreement. It would be their responsibility to lead the people by word and example, and require everyone to obey the agreement, which was according to the law of God. As far as we know, the people and their leaders never returned to worshiping idols, but they did not turn from their immoral practices, and they even intentionally misinterpreted God's law for their own selfish purposes, as Jesus pointed out in his preaching. To the Pharisees and teachers of the law, Jesus said, "Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Nehemiah 10:28. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who were able to understand, Nehemiah affirmed, and the agreement stipulated, that the law of God, their agreement, applied to everyone equally, from the greatest to the least of them. No one had special privilege to break God's law. The law of God was to be taught to and obeyed by the smallest child who could understand. To separate from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God meant they would not practice any of the idolatries or evils of their neighbors, but they would follow the law of God irrespective of what their neighbors did. They would not marry idolatrous and immoral foreign wives, as King Solomon did. They would only marry those who accepted the Lord as their God and His law as their law. Much earlier, Ruth, an ancestor of Jesus the Messiah, was a good example of the type of foreign women an Israelite might take as his wife. Nehemiah 10:29. All these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. A law without consequences for obedience and disobedience is not a law but advice. God and all the people, including the nobles, knew what a law was, and they bound themselves to suffering the consequences of breaking their oath and not obeying the law of God, summed up in the Ten Commandments. If they had obeyed the law of God, as given through Moses, and had carefully obeyed all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord their God, then the consequences for their obedience would have included freedom from slavery to foreign nations and the blessing of eating the fruit and all the other good things their land produced. Of course, despite their initial good intentions, they failed to keep their binding agreement. But despite their failures, God kept His covenant of love with them, and through them God sent the Son of David, Jesus the Messiah, His only begotten Son, into the world to save all who would believe in Him. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. How did Nehemiah describe God in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 32? 2. Describe the difference between the way God had acted toward His people and the way His people had acted toward God in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33. 3. List the type or social status of the people who did not keep God's law. 4. How were the people treated in the land God gave to their ancestors? 5. What did Nehemiah lead the people to do? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. How God's Law Rules the World. October 29, 2017. Nehemiah 9:34. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. Scientists and engineers use laws of God to plot the path of a satellite to reach the stars. Scientists, engineers, and doctors use laws of God for successful robotic surgery. Scientists did not invent the laws that keep a space station in orbit or a robot on task. The laws of God are built into the universe God has made. Researchers have discovered the laws of God, and engineers have applied them. If existence had evolved simply by chance over a long time, it would be impossible to plan a voyage to Mars or perform successful surgery with confidence, because chance would make repeating tasks unpredictable. Without the laws of God, people could not depend on a light switch working, because if it worked or failed to work, it would be just by chance. All problems would be just by chance, with no solutions to seek and find. Because of God's laws, we naturally look for the cause when something goes wrong. So, what about our lives? The history of God's people in the Bible and the prayer of Nehemiah show the often tragic consequences from repeatedly disobeying the laws of God. Nehemiah confessed that following their political and religious leaders, God's people had ignored God's commands and the laws God warned them to keep. Their slavery to foreign kings and much of their suffering resulted from disobeying or ignoring God's laws and refusing to change their behavior. From reflecting on history, we know that many problems have resulted from people ignoring God's laws regarding right and wrong, love and hate. Begin your closure class by reading the short weekly International Bible Lesson. Copyright 2017 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.